Good morning, everybody. I was told I have freedom to go as far as I want to go. So we'll see what happens. I try to figure out which way to approach this, what to say, what to do. Just so you know, Ken and I did not get together to plan this out, but it kind of reminds me of computer specialists where they do programming. They give one person one job, another person another job, another person another job, and it all comes together. So he gave a couple of verses that I don't have down here, but I was going to use. So just to let you know, Ken, yes, it did dovetail very nicely. So I have my glasses. I've got the paper hopefully written large enough so I can see what's going on. So we'll see what happens. And I'm always one who likes to go through and prepare extra, so I won't be using these, the 8 pages. I'll go through there and be using my 3 pages. Okay. In Isaiah, and you wonder, is there any way that we can not have or be done talking all about the millennium? In Isaiah, the last part of it, it's all about talking about the millennium in my mind. It may not be talking directly, but it talks about principles. So, in Isaiah 61, verse 1, I've got 2 different translations, so I'm reading both to you. But again, like I said, if I ever come up with one that I'll come out here, I'll read the King James. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, one verse says, "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is on me, because Jehovah has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Now you may recognize this particular verse. The International Version says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, the release from darkness for the prisoners." Now, if you go on, it talks about other things that pertain to the future. But let's turn to another verse that this is actually being read. In Luke 4, verse 18. Christ goes ahead, and at the beginning of his ministry, he turns to Isaiah, opens the book up, and starts to read. Now, he'll be reading in Aramaic or in Greek, but we have the English translation. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Okay, so this is what Christ's ministry in the beginning was all about. But in Isaiah, it is what we will be doing to those who are in the millennium. And so what we have is like what Ken said, we have somebody who's gone before. You wonder, what will be happening? How will all these things take place? And it's because of what Christ has done for us, we will turn around and do it to others. So, let me go through there. And this is what's nice about the different parts of it. So, anointed, set apart. So, God has set us apart, right? We talk about we are going to be in the kingdom, set apart to do a job. This is our job description. This is what we will be doing. Now, you may say, no, I want to be in the temple. Now, I want to go ahead and hold up God. Oh, wait a moment. This is what God's going to be doing. Christ said, this is my appointment. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. The word for poor, being oppressed, and people are being oppressed today. You go through there and you think about what Satan's way has done. They have oppressed. Somewhere along the line, people say, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. But normally, if they don't do it God's way, somebody pays. So we will be in the time after the tribulation. You think about what people will be like. They will be oppressed. They will end up having troubles because of Satan's way. Let me go through the verse a little bit by bit. This is back, you can go either Isaiah 61 verse 1, or you can go into Luke 4 verse 18, depending upon where you want to head to. "So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Okay, God had given unto Christ God's Spirit. We have God's Spirit. And then depending upon whether you say God, Jehovah, or all the different names, it all fits. Because he has anointed me, consecrated me, to preach the gospel or preach good tidings. People will need to hear this. You go through there and you think, what would people be thinking after the tribulation? What will you do? Where will you go? You'll have these people in different groups. In my mind, you have people scattered. Who will go after them to say, hey, wait a moment, it's okay now. It's past. It's through. I've got good news for you. There's a better way of living. And of course, the gospel is so widespread that, you know, we will not cover everything. And so when I say good news, good, you know, the gospel, you may be thinking a little bit different from what I am because it is so vast. Which means that God will probably say, you go ahead and you go over there, you talk to them because what you know is best suited for them. And so God will be able to tell us or have us, depending upon where we're at, send out others. So God will match people with those who need them. Or another thought, maybe we as spirit beings need to learn a little bit more because Christ said he learned, right, when he was upon the earth. So we might be more in the learning process, too, of how to reach other people. So, gospel of the poor, like I said, these people are going to be oppressed. And oppressed is one of the words you can translate. So we're going out there to people who need the things, who have suffered. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. But brokenhearted, those who have gone through and they thought, we've got the right way. Now, how many people do you know say, oh, you know, I know this is the right way, but I'm going to go this way. Most of the people are going to say, I know the answer. I know the answer. You take the politics of the day. Not one political party says, I don't know. It's always, I know which way to do. Now, if you stop and think about it, there's only one right way, and that's God's ways. So as long as they're following God's way, they're going to be okay. But you know, now, depending upon your leanings and stuff like that, we ourselves are blind to certain things, and we think, yeah, they got it right. And God's going, no, not really. So in the millennium, they're going to say, what happened? I thought I had it right. But it says when they do things in what is right in the eyes of man, Judge talks about it, you know, they did what was right in their own eyes. What happens? So this is what I see picturing. I don't picture the world right now saying, oh, you know, I think I'll destroy it. I picture the world as saying, you know, this is what we ought to be doing. And then it's going to fall flat on the face. Now, there's going to be certain things. Satan knows what he's doing. And as far as deceiving, and then we're talking about as far as what's going to happen to Satan. But I believe that Satan really knows what he's doing. So he's trying to destroy the world, and he's deceiving the world. So like I said, people will be brokenhearted saying, you know, I thought my way would work. Now, there's a verse in Matthew, and when Ken was given the one close to it, I said, oh yeah, that's the one, Matthew 5:17, which says, I come to magnify the law. So what we have to do when we go out to see the people, and again, I'm assuming that that will be one of the jobs, whether we're going to be in the temple or we're going to be in the city, we need to show people that God's way actually works. And what's nice about Ken, he said, you know, go for help. So what did Christ do? Christ went ahead and was a living example of the law, right? So when he went to the law, he said, this is the way to do it. He said, the Gentiles do it this way. This is the way you're supposed to be doing it. So what we get to do, we get to do the same thing. We go to the people and say, this is God's way. This is where you've learned it. And this is God's ways. So the other aspect is that you go through there to proclaim freedom from the captives. To proclaim freedoms for the captives. What do you mean captives? It's people who are in a spot where they can't do anything. And like I said, Ken read one about in Romans, where Paul's talking about that, you know, I am, you know, there's a law that I don't want to do this, but I'm going to be doing this. So they're held captive. The other aspect is that you've got to realize that people are deceived right now. Yeah, I get mad at people, and Janet can tell people that I talk and, grumble and complain, but people are deceived. And so we look at the world and we get upset with the world, realize that for the most part, yes, there are a few people, but for the most part, people are deceived. So when you come to them in the future, don't beat them on the head, because that's what they've had a lot of times. Realize that Satan has deceived them, and we talked about atonement and Satan being put away. So that one is one aspect I don't need to talk about. But remember, it says that Satan has deceived the whole world. Okay, so when you come to these people, it's like a little child who can't do certain things. You need to go through there and show God's mercy. When Paul says, I preach Christ and him crucified, what does that mean? That means that Christ realized that we are deceived. Christ showed us God's way. Okay, so now, do you know that well enough to turn right around and to go up to somebody else and say, hey, this is God's way? Not to yell and scream, although there's going to be some people, yeah, you got beat on the head, right? But you think about what God has dealt with you. Okay, has God beat you over the head, or has God over time worked with you? So what has God done with you? And have you borne the fruits that's good or the fruits that bad? So think about your own lifestyle. Think about your past. Think about your history. Think about what has happened to you over time. And a lot of us have been through the church, had things happen. We go, that really didn't work out. Okay. So what's going to change in your approach to the people that you're going to see? Now, what I've got down my notes is that the deception started with Eve, right? Have you heard advertisements saying this is the product that will cure all your problems? Only have the next commercial say, if you're taking this product, call us because we're going to sue them. It's amazing to me, but how many times that has happened? And I'm thinking, I don't think I'll take any medical product unless it's been on the market well enough for me to find out what the problems are. Okay, what did Satan tell Eve? Hey, this will take care of all your problems. All you got to do is take this and everything will be fine. The next word, if you're taking this, you've got problems. Many people in the world do not understand that God's law is the law of liberty. They look at God's law as the law of slavery. Dale Larcher talked about how people will go through there and be told certain things when you work with them. They're like, no. God's law is not the law of liberty. It's a law that's going to slave us. And that's how people view God's laws. And that's in James 1:25. So let me see if I can go through and read that. And like I said, I have not marked anything in my Bible. I went and printed it out. So James 1:25. But who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not forgetful of hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. What it's saying is this. Some people look upon keeping Sunday or going to the Sabbath, getting the holidays, as a requirement to get into God's kingdom. What's really happening is that God's way is right. And when I think of right, I don't think of being correct as much as being the right choice. You go through there and think, what should I do today? Well, for the most part, it doesn't make that much difference. But if you've got a situation where you have to, decide which way to go through there, and if I can explain this correctly, you've got a choice of saying, do I do it this way, do it this way? One's a little bit better than the other way. And sometimes both works out, sometimes not. But when I think of God's way of righteousness, it's saying it's the best way. I guess that's what I want to say. God's way is not only right in fact that he's a lawgiver, but it's the best way to go. And most people don't think of it being that way. They think of oppression. So when your neighbors see you keeping the law, keeping the Sabbath day, is it because you have to or because you want to? When they come up to you, well, let me change a little bit. Suppose your neighbor is the one you're going to be going to. They're the one that is off in the cave hiding because they've, you know, have seen God's power, and they're thinking, whoa, wait a moment here, what have you done? And they see you coming. Are they going to turn and run? Are they going, wow, I'm so glad to see you. So what's your response to your neighbor? How do they see you? Is it something that they go through there and say, hey, he's helped me? Or, man, you know, he's coming. I hope he doesn't come to me. So, you know, we have to live in the world, right? And just to think, after the feast here, you could go back. If you haven't done a good job, you get to practice. So instead of saying, oh, yeah, the feast is over. No, after you go back into the world, you get to practice so that when your neighbor sees you, they go, yes, I want you. Instead of saying, oh, okay. So think about that. Think about how your neighbor is going to treat you because they know you or your friends and maybe your enemies. So think about that because someday God may say, that one right there, and you go, oh, yeah, okay, I know that guy. So in Matthew 25, verse 32, I'm not going to turn there, but you should remember. Remember the sheep and the goats? And God has says to the sheep, come into my kingdom. Why? Because they were the ones who took their fellow man and they said, hey, you need some help. Let me help you out. The goats, and I'm going to paraphrase this in my mind or to you. The goats said, you know, you really can't help me out. So, you know, no deal. You're not Christ and you're not going to be the one that will reward me. So I'm just going to forget you. The sheep have said, you know, God's way is to help people out. The goat's way is to say, what's in it for me? So that's the thing you've got to think about. Are you looking out for yourself? Or are you looking out to say, this is God's way? If you're doing it now, when you do it in the future, it'd be a whole lot easier. Now, I've only stayed in Isaiah 61:1, right? So I want to go back to Isaiah 61 and read some more verses. Now, in the second verse, now there's some things I've forgotten, go through along through here. The opening of the prisons to those who are bound. Again, those are the things that people have troubles with, the nature and things like that. And I'm not sure how that's going to work out. And maybe that when we are working, you know, as I said, we, not God. Oh, wait a minute, we'll be gods, won't we? When God is working with people through us, that the habits people have, the background, there's a lot of garbage that comes along with our lives, right? So what's happening is that we will go to the people, start working with the people. And we will begin to help them overcome. And in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Christ stopped with this. What he did not read is what I'm going to read on a little bit more. To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. God is angry with Satan, right? For destroying the world. God has not come down hard on people yet. And so the thing is that God does not like people destroying others. We do it because we're deceived. Others do it because we're deceived. You notice I put we in there because sometimes we do stupid things. And we have to repent. And what's interesting, the one thing that God said in the kingdom, or said in his preaching, was repent, right? We told us need to change. That's the same thing we're going to tell people. You need to change. You no longer can do the things you used to do. On verse 2, to comfort all who mourn. So at the time now, there's people who mourn that we cannot help. In the future, we're going to reach out to everybody. Isaiah 61, verse 3. And I've got different verses. I've got one that says, to appoint to those who mourn in Zion. This one I've got, to console those who mourn in Zion. And this is how you comfort them. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So what we're going to do, we're going to take the stuff that has been destroyed and it says, this is the way to do it. So now we've got a people who are beginning to say, you know, God's way is better. So now what's going to happen? After people begin to say, you know, my way really didn't work out. And they're beginning to realize that Satan's way is the one that has been doing that. And that's what God's really trying to point out. That good and evil, that the evil really is destruction, really is bad. After the people begin to realize what's going on, then, in verse 3, the oil of mourning, joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Yes. What's going to happen is that, you know, a tree does not start out huge, right? Starts out a little bit. It depends upon if you go from the seed. And, of course, I don't know if you ever have elm trees land in your yard. You know, thousands of them. You know, they grow a little bit at a time. But they do grow. And so people beginning to understand God's way of life will begin to grow. You'll be there guiding and directing and help them overcome. They will not overcome all at once. You may say, yeah, you got all this stuff we're here to do. But what did Christ tell us? He told his disciples, there are many things I want to tell you, but you're not ready for them yet. So our purpose is not to show how great we are, but it's to follow God's instructions and say, to free them from prison, to free them from the deception of Satan, and to help them grow over time. And I do not know how long it's going to take. For some people that have been taught by God today, and I'm not quite ready yet, they may go, you know, fairly fast. Others may take a long time. So as people begin and continue to see that God's way is best, they will have you to show them continually what's going on. And we'll be working with them. Now, what's interesting is that the word for tree, the trees of righteousness, it also could be translated ram. I thought that's interesting. I mean, strong ones of righteousness. So what we'll be doing is eventually bringing these people up to the level, and hopefully past what we're at right now. I mean, that's what we really want, right? Is not people to be just in one spot. We want our children to grow. And I've thought about this and have different ways and stuff like this. So I thought about your parents. And like I said, Jenna and I don't have children. But your parents, have you ever wished you could go back and redo it? So, what about this? Maybe your children were the first ones. And the ones in the millennium, who will be your spiritual children, are the actual one that God wants you to really work with. So the ones, the things you've learned as a parent, is ones you get to go through and apply to the future. You know, that might be one reason why God gives us children. So that you can learn and say, oh, yeah, I made that mistake. Okay, let's not make that mistake again. So once people realize the difference between God's ways and Satan's way, they're going, why did we ever go that way? They will be amazed at the difference. Back in Genesis 3, verse 5, the very thing when Satan first started out, he said, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Yeah, but you won't be as God. You will know good and evil. We know good and evil, right? But we know, and we're learning more and more as we learn the difference between God's way and Satan's way, the difference. Ask God the difference between good and evil. So in the future, you'll be teaching the difference between good and evil. So what I've got down here, what is the final goal? So Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and there's more. I mean, there's a lot more. So what is the final goal of God's assignment? You know, what is he trying to do? Where are we headed with this thing? Well, it's the same thing it's always been. When you think about it, is that in Genesis 1:26, what did God say? God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping things upon the earth. God wanted us to become God. Okay, Satan threw a ringer in there, and I can actually picture now that God would have done it a little differently if Satan had not done that. But, you know, Satan got in there, and no, we have this duty this job coming up. We are now learning from Christ. So we look back and say, what did Christ do? How can I apply it to somebody else? But the final assignment is for us to be able to help God take people and to help them become God. So that is our assignment. So when you go through there and think about things that you have happened to you, think about this. Can I apply that to somebody else? Will somebody want that to for me to apply that to them? And like I said, you know, if you have a job coming up and you know what the job assignment is, you can actually study for it. You can go through to prepare for it. So now you know, or you may have known this, you now know what you're going to be doing in the future.